Chapter 1. Stigma. Jessica woke up to the sounds of yet another song playing in her head over again. It's the kind of thing that occurs often, actually. She's sure she isn't the only one that has those moments. It happens more than not. So much so that she has allowed it to consume her. In a good way, of course. She embraces it now. She allows it to dictate how her day is going to go. Today is a black cow kind of good day, as told by Steely Dan. She envisions her day like so. She wakes up to the snare popping and the drum kick. She rushes out of bed and begins to sing the song word for word. You were high. She begins to sing in the mirror as she brushes her teeth. I can't cry anymore while you run around. It begins to get so loud that she moves more and more captive to the beat. Although there is no music playing at all in her studio flat, it doesn't matter. She's singing to the beat and dancing to the beautiful instrumentation and melodic rhythms of Steely Dan. That is, until a phone call disrupts her epic karaoke. It's Thomas calling again. Shit, Jessica mumbles while continuing to brush her teeth. He leaves a voicemail. That is the 7th time in 2 days he has called. That's more than he has ever called when he was in a relationship, she thinks. It must be important. Fuck it. Look, Jessica, I know that you said you were taking some time off, but I really need you on this job with me. We have a solid lead on the perp, and I need your expertise on this. Can you please call me back? I'm not going to talk about us. This is work. Can you please? Message deleted. She disconnects the call and ponders if she needs to call back or if it's really something they can't handle themselves. She tries to get the song back in her head, but once it's broken, it can't be fixed again. Her mind has begun to race, and now it won't allow her to replay the song. It's so funny how once someone disrupts your train of thought, it's hard to get back on track, she thought. She needed that song to get her day off right. Now, it's going to be one distraction after another. She picks up the phone and dials a number. Yeah, Thomas, what's up? No. No. Email it to me. I'm not coming in. I'm sick. Email it to me. She hangs up. Being the best forensics expert in the city has its perks. A lot of times you make your own schedule. You can come and go as you please. And one of her favorite perks is she can get information emailed to her without even leaving the house. Although in the studio flat, she rented a pod right down the street as her workspace. She needed it to try and recreate situations of what happened. Burglary? She'll recreate a space complete with glass casing and all. Grand theft? She has a good relationship with a local junkyard. They'll bring an identical car to reenact the theft. She's well connected and she's damn good. That's why she can do her own thing and be left alone pretty much. She's also an extreme introvert. Relationships don't normally work out because she doesn't like to go out. If they don't like it, then they can hit the road. But the situation with Thomas was a little different. For the first time, she decided to remove the stigma of a homebody by trying to do things. Again, Thomas was different. But in the end, he must have forgot what she did for a living. It started with the subtle things he would do, like working later, showering before he got to her home, phone going straight to voicemail sometimes. Of course, those things were cause for concern, but when he came home one day drunk and called Jessica someone else's name, that's when she decided to do some digging. There was nothing going on from what she could tell, but her mind would not let it die down or rest. She began to revert back to her old self, shedding everyone off in the process, especially Thomas. He, of course, had an explanation for everything, but it wasn't enough. It was the hardest case she's ever had to break, figuring out if Thomas was cheating. Since she couldn't decipher what was going on, she decided to end it. Better to break it off now to save the trouble and heartache. The only problem is, they still work together. The email notification broke her nostalgic trance, and she began to focus on what was going on. The email read, Jessica, We think we found a lead in the case we had been working on, but we just need your expertise on figuring out exactly what happened. The new evidence came from an anonymous witness that placed the perp at the scene. The perp is described as a woman, 5'6" with dark hair. We don't know if she wore a wig or not, but we think she has done this before. Either that or had practiced doing it. This was different because it was an early morning job instead of nighttime, and it wasn't a burglary this time. A murder was involved because she allegedly killed the store owner after he was able to identify her. According to the camera footage here, he pointed at her and waved like he knew her. We are assuming she may have panicked and pulled the trigger. She then tried to cover it up to look like a burglary. We tried tracing the owner's steps back to where he was before this tragedy struck, and several people have mentioned he was at a dog park that people frequented. He was there waiting on someone to bring him something. After further digging, we found out he was a part of a sex trafficking ring that used his store as a drop-off site. The dog park is where he would receive his instructions. Now, we think someone has obtained knowledge of that and decided to take this cell down. Luckily, there was footage of the interaction. We need you to take a look at the footage and see if anything sticks out. Thanks. Thomas. As Jessica began to scroll on the footage, she noticed something and realized something almost at the same time. She noticed her TV monitor came on that connected to her pod. It automatically turns on when her motion sensor is tripped. It was a SWAT team. She immediately looked out the window and noticed no one out there. She looked at the monitor again and back outside. Nothing. She didn't understand what was going on until she realized that something. Her monitor was hacked. She began to deduce the current scenario. On the footage, the shop owner began talking to someone. Then the camera panned over to the far left near a bush and a bench. On that bench was someone monitoring the conversation between the owner and a tall man, mid-60s with gray hair. The person on the bench was watching the man give the shop owner an envelope filled with what seemed like cash. That person was hard to make out at first, but then the camera zoomed in more, only to see it was Jessica. She had binoculars looking in the direction of the person. She had on clothes very similar to the person on the shop camera who killed the shop owner. Shit. Shit. As soon as she realized what she saw, she began picking up her things and tried to run to the door, but then there was a loud bang. And the door busted open. The SWAT team stormed in the studio apartment. Put your hands up now. Put your hands up now. On the ground. On the ground. Jessica fell to the ground with her hands over her head. As the SWAT team began to place the handcuffs on her, she wondered how in the hell she got caught. Just then, Thomas walked to the door and gave her a stern look of disgust. Captain Swin came into Thomas's office to congratulate him on the bust. Job well done, but how did you know it was her doing all these burglaries? Thomas, with a rested look on his face, began to explain. I don't know of anyone who could actually rebuild a crime scene unless they had already planned on doing it prior to the crime happening. What she would do is case the scene, take pictures, and try to go through the process several times before she actually commits the crime. She had been doing it for some time now, but I didn't know how. I decided to go undercover. To see how she was doing it, mentioned Swin. Yes, you're right. That introvert setup was just a front so people didn't recognize her. You see, she was so good that she thought she couldn't get caught and let her guard down with me. I capitalized. I gave her a false sense of thinking that I'm just like any other guy that does stupid shit. That way she couldn't tell that I was actually on her. Well, what about the SWAT video at her pod? The captain was curious to know. Thomas quipped back. Well, that was simple. I had them record that on a day I took her to the park for the first time. That way, she couldn't see the footage at her home. But it doesn't record for obvious reasons. She didn't want to leave a trail of evidence. Captain Swin shook his head and said, and walked out of the office.